Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Another Monday morning. Yeah, I know. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International, a private security and law enforcement organization, as well as Armor College, a vocational and public safety school, and a number of other business entities. Thank you all for being with me this morning. We, of course, have a lot to talk about, a lot of news, just overall, really, a lot going on in our industry, in our country. Sometimes it's hard to wrap your head around. Again, good morning on this Monday morning, the 25th of January, 2021. We're going to be talking about all of that and much more. A recent press release about the number of security officers arrested. Kind of a quick wrap-up of the security, you know, the state of security, private security in 2020. And we're going to begin the three-part series today, right here. The Private Officer B Radio will be talking about the four areas of an individual's welfare. The four areas of an individual's welfare. And this is even more important for those working in public safety and law enforcement and private security. And anyone who really is a first responder, because of what we see, what we do, the environment that we live in every day. You see, when you're not in this field, when you're not in the protect and serve business, well, you know, we don't know what's happening. We don't see it. We don't hear it. We don't feel it. And we just kind of see a blur on the headlines here and there, but we're not really in the midst of it. I never really understood the extent of certain businesses until I got involved in them. And still today, it's like, wow, they do all of that and they get paid just this little amount. So it's very important that we stay in tune with our welfare. There are four different areas that make up the welfare, the well-being of an individual, and all of them are equally as important. None is superior. And although I'm not a medical doctor, I've been a paramedic, a first responder in the field, and a mental health practitioner since the 70s. I have a few cases that I could actually bring up and use as examples, including myself. If we let any part of those four areas of our welfare, our individual welfare, down, if we don't take care of them, then things begin breaking down. So we're going to have this three-part series today, beginning today. We'll talk more about that coming up soon. We'll also give you a little bit more information on this episode of the new Command Staff College for Private Security and Law Enforcement. And this is a very unique opportunity. This is not something done anywhere before. It has been available to command staff, meaning commanders and police chiefs and deputy assistant police chiefs, but not for the private sector. We have been able to partner up, and we'll be telling you more about that and how it's going to operate and how you can be enrolled. This is a very extensive program, and it's not going to be something you just sign on and do a little certificate and you're done in 20 minutes. No, this is a long program. What we have found is whenever we do an extended program that's 20 weeks or more, many people don't last. They are very enthusiastic, engaged, excited, maybe for the first 6 to 10 weeks. When we're about halfway through or less, they begin dropping off like flies. We're all so busy. We got a lot going on. We got work. We got family. We may have a secondary job, so on and so forth. And I understand completely being a multi-business owner, an entrepreneur, a law enforcement officer, EMS and fire service, and many other hats that I wear. I do understand that. But we have to be committed. And with this new Command Staff College, it's going to be a commitment. It's going to be inexpensive, substantially reduced thanks to a number of components involved and partners, and we will be telling you more about that coming up. Also, in today's episode, of course, we've got a lot of breaking news. We certainly do, and we're going to get to that just like always. Just a whole lot going on. Before I go over to our first break, let me just tell you that if you're listening today maybe you've downloaded the app, maybe you're on the iHeartRadio network, maybe you're on one of your favorite download sites where you get your music and podcasts like iTunes, Rhapsody, or others. Maybe you're listening here on Blog Talk Radio. You could always download our episodes, all of them, from the very beginning. We have them cataloged. We have them streaming. We have them available for you right here on our radio platform, on our website, as well as, like I said, all of those convenient apps where you download your favorite music or podcast, including the iHeart Radio Network. We are very excited to announce, we announced this last week, we have a brand new radio show coming up just a matter of days as we roll over into February from the Gulf side, talking about life along the Gulf Coast of Alabama from the Florida Panhandle all the way to Texas, but primarily we'll be kind of hanging out in the Alabama coastal area and loving it. And we'll be talking over the next probably few weeks, kind of introducing you to the life along the Gulf Coast. Pretty exciting. That's going to be on a new platform as well as the iHeartRadio network. For more information, just send us an email at thehelpdesk@privateofficer.com. Remember, if you're looking for body armor, protective clothing, slash-resistant vest, gloves, be sure to contact our friend Ben over at Body Armor USA. We've got what it takes to protect you. There's no doubt about that. Body Armor USA, great guys, great products, great body armor. Contact them, look them up online today, bodyarmorusa.com. I'm telling you, we've got what it takes to protect you. And let me tell you this, if you're a business and you're looking to your advertising dollars, but reach your target market, reach the people that you want to engage, sell to, market to, you've come to the right place. Private Officer International, a 17-year-old company, been around for a long time. We have a huge following on social media, our radio shows, our platforms, websites, and membership. We have that market that's looking for products that you sell. Whether you're an insurance company, a uniform company, a body armor company, whatever it might be, contact us, helpdesk at privateofficer.com. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Without this woman, my father couldn't have had his hip replaced.
Without these people, I'd be dead.
This man helped my son through leukemia.
Do something amazing. Give blood.
Kyle loved hunting. He was in a tree stand and a support broke. He wasn't wearing a safety harness. I can't help Kyle, but I can help you. Please wear a safety harness. Please take the free hunter safety course, and please be careful.
Welcome back to the Private Officer Beat Radio on this Monday, January 25th of 2021. Every year, day in and day out, 365 days a year, our office, our news staff, our office staff, our help desk people, we look at the news, more than 3,500 different media sites, locations, press releases, and we have a lot of inbound news that comes to us. So we have collected statistical data right from almost the first day. And unfortunately, whenever you're collecting data, information, unless you are gearing it only to a specific category or area, you're going to get the good, the bad, and the ugly, as I've said many times. And this past weekend, we released a report which was very accurate and very fair. Let me read this to you. Private security officers walk a fine line between being a civilian and being an enforcer of the rules and the laws. And sometimes that line is crossed in part because the security officer was just trying to do a good job, or they were stopping someone from violating a property rule or even breaking a law. Now, in most states, security officers do have the same authority as any other person to detain an individual, make a private person arrest, or they can also detain someone in some states as a special police officer having special law enforcement authority. They, like any civilian or law enforcement officer, have the legal right to defend themselves against attacks or perceived threats. The work of a security officer is not easy, and it is often misunderstood. Security officers do good work. Make no mistake about that. They save lives. They protect property and people. They risk their own lives, and many, many times, we have just shouted from the rooftop about the great things that private security and private law enforcement do. They're frequently the victims of assaults, and they are frequently viciously attacked. And in 2020, 327 at least died while on duty. Security officers on duty deaths are often the results, direct results, I want you to know, of assault and homicides, no two ways about it. Most of the time, security officers, as you know, work alone, and they must defend themselves against attackers who might be armed. And this can sometimes lead them into being arrested themselves for going too far. Even with the best training, an individual being attacked, fearing for his life, or being in a situation where they are alone and defenseless, will go into a survival mode and use whatever means necessary to escape harm or death. It is not unusual, therefore, that private security officers sometimes do find themselves on the wrong side of the law, as they did once again in 2020. It is not uncommon in an average year to see between 800 and 2,000 security officers arrested. 800 to 2,000 security officers annually are arrested for a variety of charges, from high felonies to low misdemeanors. Now, when you're considering that security officers number around 1.5 million nationwide just here in the U.S., well, that's not even 10%. That's not even 2%. So it is very low percentage, although it sounds high. Well, this past year, 2020, was one where security officers were not as active as in a normal year. There wasn't as many businesses using private security services, and so there were less security officers arrested, yet there were security officers arrested. 443 security officers were arrested. Now, we've taken a lot of heat on this report that was released over the weekend, but we will never sweep things under the rug. We will never try to hide or cover up the facts. That's not what we do. Now, I'm going to be the first person to praise the work that private security and private police do. But when there's problems, when there's issues, wrongdoings, I'll never cover them up. I'll never try to hide them. And I'll never, ever make excuses. We've got to be transparent. Look at what's happening in our world, our country today. It's all about honesty, transparency, and understanding. A lot of times people don't understand why the police did what they did, why security did what they did, until you kind of show them. And sometimes that, you know, solve the problem, sometimes not. We're willing to correct the wrong, and we've got to be willing to help those who have made mistakes, whether that be through education and training, revamping our company's policies or practices, or maybe even discharging the employee. Whatever it takes, whatever steps is necessary, that's what we have to do in today's world. Now, a few states have begun reducing regulatory training requirements for private security, while others, a few, have increased the requirements. But it is on us, to make sure that they have what they need to do the job and to be safe. It's us who are responsible, the employer. Let's get that straight. Yes, the individual is responsible for their own actions. I truly believe that, preach it since I was a teenager. But on the other hand, it's up to us to make sure that they know what they can do, to make sure that they know how to get help if they need help, to make sure they know what the rules and laws are. And it's all about working as a team to make sure that things are done properly and within the law. I know people are upset every time we release a similar report. It happens. But like I said, 443 comparative to 1.5 million employed in private security, including loss prevention, proprietary and non-licensed. I think that's a small percentage. I'm not justifying it by any means. I'm not saying that they, don't worry about it. No, definitely not. But I think that most companies, even the big ones, are doing their best. They're trying to have a good product, a good service, And although everyone makes mistakes, including these companies, overall, like I said, private security, they do a great job every day. And there are companies out there, and I've named some of them in the past, that do even a better job at it. You know, it's an industry that's changing, and unfortunately, business owners and large security providers still think that they're a staffing company, and they're not rolling with the times, not changing with the times. In the state of private security, just a quick overview of 2020, really the news in a nutshell, we're going to come out with a more comprehensive report later in the first quarter of 2021. But 327 security officers died, 40 were victims of homicide. More than 1,000 security officers received recognition through awards and their companies, POI, TSA, and others. More than 452 security officers, we kind of need to revise this because it's been over 611 security officers, received the COVID-19 Frontline Award presented by Private Officer International. There was that 443 security officers arrested. Like I said, it is a small number comparatively, but we still need to work on those situations. Case in point, and I hate to add salt to a wound, but coming out of L.A. over the weekend, also a former Transportation Security Administration agent, TSA, agent who was accused of tricking a traveler into showing her breast as she went through a security checkpoint at LAX, pleaded no contest on this past Friday to false imprisonment. False imprisonment is a form of kidnapping. It means that they forcefully caused that person to remain even though they had a right to leave. Jonathan Lamelli entered the felony count, and this is a very disturbing sentence. He was sentenced to 60 days on a felony in county jail, 52 classes addressing sexual compulsion, and 2 years of probation, the California Attorney General's office announced Friday. He has also been barred from ever working as a security officer in California. He was charged with fraud or deceit to falsely imprison the woman back in June of 2019. This is a despicable sentence. If you're married, if you have daughters, your mother, your aunts, grandmothers, female friends, to have someone to use their authority, their position to imprison another person for their own sexual gratification or for any reason unlawfully at all and be charged with such a high felony that could have given him 5 to 10 in prison, federal prison, because he was a federal employee. This is despicable, disgusting, and it's outrageous, to be honest with you. And anyone in security, law enforcement, public safety, or just the general public should be outraged at this lack of punishment on this person. The woman told investigators that the TSA agent told her he had to look inside her bra to ensure she wasn't hiding anything. He then had her hold her pants away from her waist to check inside. He then said he would take her to a private room for further security screening, but when they were alone on the elevator, the security agent told the woman he could perform the screening right there and ordered her to lift her shirt and show her breasts, then look down her pants extensively. Lamelli then told the woman she was free to go and added that she had nice breasts, police said. It's disgusting. These are the situations that we should all be outraged over. if you want to improve the profession, whether it be law enforcement or security, we need to police our own. I was discussing on Friday with a law enforcement officer about, well, what percentage of cops in the field today do you think are bad? Looking back and years gone by, you know, things were done differently. It was commonplace that police used force to show somebody that they were in charge and that they were the boss. And we had this discussion for probably 20, 30 minutes. And sadly, we both kind of came to the conclusion that probably 12 to 20% of current law enforcement don't abide by the law, are using excessive force, breaking the law themselves. And we see this every day. Honestly, a lot of police officers do get arrested for everything. We just had a police officer arrested last month because he stole, almost on a daily basis, items from a convenience store, ate food, drank juices and coffees and other products, and just walked out. Never said, you know, is this complimentary? Is this? No, he just abusively stole in uniform while on duty. Last week, a Memphis police officer was arrested while on duty in uniform driving a Memphis police car for murder and kidnapping. Someone he had had a confrontation with, he went and kidnapped them while he was on duty and killed the guy in the back seat of his police car. This is outrageous. And just, this is why so many people are protesting. But whether you're using, you know, excuses, whether, you know, you don't think that this is going on, it is going on, both in private security and law enforcement. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the four areas of an individual's welfare and how they are all equally important. We want to kind of go over some of the other news items happening, as well as talk about, once again, the command staff school that's coming up and several other things that are happening here at Private Officer International. So don't go away. Got a lot to talk about. And we really need your support. Be sure to join us at privateofficer.org if you're not already a member. Right now, we have a great lifetime membership for just $99. Go to armoredcollege.org right there on the top. Dozens and dozens of online courses at reduced tuition. We'll be right back. Hey, everyone. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Now, don't go away, because we are coming right back when we've got a whole lot more right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Life is precious. Ask any of these people. They've been given a second chance at life through organ and tissue donation. But there are more than 84,000 Americans waiting for life-saving transplants. 17 people die every day waiting. I didn't know this until I lost my best friend, Lyric. She gave the gift of life to 5 people. That's why I've become an organ donor, too. One decision saves so many lives. Donate life.
It's a very simple thing. It only takes 2 seconds. We all know we should do it. We all say we do it. But do we? About 35,000 people were killed in motor vehicle accidents last year. More than half were not wearing a seatbelt. A brother, a father, a mother, a best friend. Is it worth it? I lost a sister. Don't let it happen to you and your family. Tell the people you love to buckle up.
The Command Staff College. This is something that has been offered through law enforcement for their police chiefs, deputies, and assistant chiefs, commanders, FBI agents, and others in law enforcement in a command position for years has been available. Armor College Private Officer International has partnered with several other organizations, a command college, a law enforcement group, and several others. We're going to be bringing this to you next week, the first radio show of February. We're going to go into more details on February 1, and it's really something that we're very proud to be able to offer. This is a very intense, extended program. It's going to cover everything from training to supervision to just supervising frontline personnel, a whole gamut. It is going to be offered at a substantial low price, and there will be some scholarships offered for those who just cannot afford it. We're very proud of what we have accomplished over the years. We are committed to accomplishing much more. In fact, if you know of any security officer in your area, in your employment, in the company that you work for, that deserves to be recognized with an award, contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. If you would like to present them a membership and they cannot afford it, again, please contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com with the specifics so that we can reach out and try to help them. We told you last week about a situation at a Kroger store in Richmond, Virginia. A Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine. This security officer working at a Kroger's had to address an individual for the second time in 6 months who was not in compliance with the mask face covering policy of the grocery store. There was a video both times, earlier in the summer and this situation last week. I told you that this security officer, this Marine, was as calm, cool, collective as possible, de-escalated the situation beautifully. We even played you the audio, and we have reached out to his company. We're trying to contact him direct, but his company has given us the runaround. They're only available to be called at a specific time. This is another example of how when we want to reward someone for a job well done, when we want to honor somebody who's been injured or killed in a line of duty and we try to reach out to the company, they very infrequently respond, even though we tell them what the call is about, why we're trying to contact their employee. I've even been faced with times when we've talked to company representatives when we're trying to help the families of deceased security officers killed in a line of duty. And they're like, well, you know, we'll reach out to the wife. We'll do this. They never do. And sometimes they say, well, thanks for calling, but, you know, we're not interested. It's like I'm selling, you know, used car parts or windows. They're very unreceptive and many times non-receptive. And it's very frustrating when these situations happen. But we're going to continue reaching out to this company again throughout this week, and if we're able to get a hold of them, we will bring that to you next week on the next radio program. This week, we are talking about the four areas of an individual's welfare. And they're not different, actually. They're all equally as important. None is superior. And that's kind of hard to believe, actually. When you are looking at the four areas, you would assume, hey, you know what? This one's more important than the other one. This is not as important. I don't think this is going to be that important. But it is. The four areas that we're going to talk about over the next 3 weeks in this series includes mental welfare, physical welfare, spiritual welfare, even if you may not believe, you're not a believer in any certain religion, there's another aspect to being spiritual beyond that. And the fourth one is financial. If you do not have good mental welfare, good physical welfare, good spiritual welfare, good financial welfare, if all of those things don't come together, doctors and psychologists and social workers and those in the mental health field, financial services, they all agree to one thing. All of those components are part of the inner makings of who we are, and they all connect. So we're going to do a series, and we're going to talk about each one of those areas of your welfare, starting today with mental welfare. I'm not saying that's the most important, because they're all equal, none superior. But as we work through this three-part, it's important. And I ask that you take notes, because there's going to be a lot of information covered. A lot of information covered. And really, the whole reason why we're doing this is because a lot of people let certain parts of themselves decay away. They don't really understand the importance of physical well-being. They don't understand the importance. They may understand money. Oh, they can't pay their bills, but they don't understand what's necessary to maintain a good financial welfare. And so, you know, we've tried over the last year during the COVID situation to explain about the COVID. And even if you don't believe in all the numbers and all that, there's still a substantial number of people dying, and we've tried to explain the importance of having good medical care, good physical condition, keeping track of, you know, the different aspects of your body. We're kind of like a machine, and so that's why we put this together, along with some other issues. We do know, sadly, that security officers do commit suicide both on the job as well as off duty. The numbers are never, ever certain, because the media seldom releases suicide information. They don't make the headline unless you're someone special or a law enforcement officer or a high priority person. But we do know that it happens, and occasionally we are able to track those. So we know that this is also an aspect as well. When we come back from this quick break, we are going to talk about a few things in the news, and then we're going to cover the first area of our welfare, of our well-being, and how we need to keep track of all of these. It's vitally important. You are listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio. Coming right back. Don't go away.
For some children, America isn't the land of promise. It's a place where every day is a struggle. Because today in America, 1 in 6 children lives below the poverty line. For these children, living in poverty means going without medicine, going without food, going without a warm home, or even a roof over your head. And that's life for nearly 13 million children of all races, all across America. Where will you draw the line and get involved? You can help these children and their families find a way out of poverty for good. And you can make a difference in more ways than you think. Will you help? Go to povertyusa.org today. Because 1 in 6 children in poverty is one too many. A message.
In the news this week in Chicago, Illinois, a private security company has stepped forward willing to provide private security at gasoline stations during prime target hours when they've been having problems of carjackings. Last year, the city of Chicago saw 1,427 carjackings in the city. I personally have not heard of this high number of carjackings since the 90s and early 2000s. As of today, for January, 149 carjackings in the city of Chicago already has occurred. William Cates, he's the CEO of Cates Detective and Security Agency, said that beginning this past weekend and going for 30 days, he's going to put between 25 and 30 security officers out at various gas stations, mostly on the south side where they've seen these carjackings increase. He's calling it Operation Safe Pump, along with law enforcement. Security vehicles with lights flashing during the prime time for the next 30 days, but he said he would be willing to extend that time if necessary. He has partnered with Alderman Stephanie Coleman of the 16th District, but Cates, the owner of the security company, said he alone will be paying for the service. Now, that is true community involvement. That is above and beyond, folks, above and beyond for any business owner. If more security companies would invest in their community and step up and do something similar, it would be amazing. Amazing. In the conversation 2 weeks ago, I had with several people in business, this very thing was discussed. Why can't we be problem solvers? Yeah, but I volunteer at the Boys Club. I do this, I do that. That's great. That is fantastic. But being in the public safety security industry, we can add, you know, to the value of our service by really getting out in our community and offering these free patrols. When I had a larger security company with multiple offices in multiple states, we provided housing project security under contract, but we also volunteered. We patrolled churches when nonprofits were burglarized. We gave them free patrol services, high visibility patrols. We had armed stationary security officers when places were broken into. We made sure that we were giving back as much as we could to our community, and that's what we need to do. In Redlands, California, security officer Mark Wallace Lamb died of COVID this past week. We don't know if he was, you know, got it on the job or whatever, but he was a security officer. He was 68 years old. In San Diego, an Allied Universal security officer has been fired. He was stationed or positioned or assigned to the San Diego Metropolitan Transit System, and he was fired over social media posts and videos that appear to reference the January 6th riots at the U.S. Capitol. Now, Allied Universal and the city of San Diego did not release the security officer's name, only to say that such videos and comments posted by the employee of the contracted security company was not within the consistency of their values and company policies, and Allied echoed the same and said, therefore, we have separated the employee. I didn't see the post. I can't tell you what it said. I don't even know what the videos were about. But everyone does have the right in their off time hours to, even on their when they're on duty, they do have a right to freedom of speech, but companies have a right to fire you. New Mexico middle school security officer has been arrested for sexual assault while on duty. 52-year-old Abrin Alberi reportedly sexually assaulted an eighth grade student over the course of a whole school year. He's been charged with 3 counts of sexual penetration of a minor, 4 counts of criminal sexual contact with a minor, 6 counts of false imprisonment. Again, that's the same as kidnapping. It is kidnapping. 1 count of bribery of a witness and 1 count of tampering with evidence. Where were the supervisors? Where were the company owners? Where was the client? A whole year? Where was everybody? These are the type of things that make the security industry look bad. In Los Angeles, California, 26-year-old Fernando Luis Roaz was killed downtown LA while on duty as a security officer at a party. Police do not have any evidence, witnesses. They don't have any leads. They don't know what happened. And they're asking for the public to come forward. A man in Glendale, Arizona has been arrested for impersonating law enforcement and then kidnapping a Desert Diamond Casino winner. The person had won some money, and this dude decided to not only take his money, but to kidnap him. Security worked with law enforcement, and an arrest was made in Idaho Falls, Idaho. Beautiful area, by the way. A security officer at the Hurricanes nightclub has been charged with aggravated battery after he reportedly shoved a patron, causing the victim to hit his head, bleed, and get seriously injured. Blake Clifford Cox, 45, has been arrested in that incident and will appear in court coming up in the next week. And you wonder why we see all of these situations and wonder why the public look at private security the same way as they look at law enforcement. Mall security and police coordinated their efforts this past week in Tulsa, Oklahoma, after a burglary at a mall and an overnight burglary at a jewelry store inside the mall at the Promenade Mall. Security and law enforcement responded after security saw on their cameras someone breaking into the mall and then breaking into Abby's jewelry store and smashing open cases, grabbing merchandise. By the time police arrived, they saw a suspect fleeing in a vehicle. There was a police pursuit and a foot chase. A suspect was arrested. A second suspect has now been arrested. Police say they were part of a jewel thief gang called the 3-Minute Gang. 3-Minute Gang, because that's what they allowed themselves to break into the mall and into the jewelry store. Luckily for the jewelry store, mall security was on their toes and worked well with law enforcement in that apprehension. This is a very unique, sad, and kind of a freak situation. A Columbus, Ohio security officer on patrol discovered the dead body of a female who had been involved in a freak traffic accident inside a parking garage. It seems that on Tuesday of last week, a security officer making his rounds at 5:40 in the morning discovered the 23-year-old Victoria Strauss. The young lady was paying for her parking with a credit card. The credit card fell to the ground, and she just instinctively kind of put her head out the car door and reached down to pick up the credit card. The car accelerated forward, trapping her neck and her head against the payment machine and killed her, probably snapped her neck. The security officer finding her hours later, unfortunately, she was dead on the scene. Another state, another city, another elimination of the cash bond. In Illinois, they passed the no cash bond, meaning It doesn't matter if you've been arrested for shoplifting, trespassing, or robbery. In most cases, you won't have to put up bail. You'll be out on what's called an ROR, released on your own recognizance, and maybe you'll show up for court. Maybe not, but the Illinois state legislators think that's a pretty good deal. California and other states have tried it, and it's not working. I know in Virginia and North Carolina here also began doing the same thing, and they've had a 73% no-show. Imagine that. A man has been charged with armed robbery and biting a Walmart security agent in Springfield, Massachusetts. The man, Freddie Kirskwago of Chicopee, Mass., was charged with armed robbery, assault and battery, assault with a dangerous weapon, armed assault with intent to rob, and two counts of assault and battery on a police officer after they say that he entered a Walmart and began shoplifting. He used physical force. He then slashed the security officer with a box cutter and bit one of his hands while the security officer was attempting to subdue and apprehend him, and that's where the robbery charges came in. Two armed security officers in Westcliff, Colorado, and the church where they were working is being protested and really across social media being just pounded, I guess I should say, because the two armed security officers asked two people to leave the church. The Our Lady of the Assumption Catholic Church in Westcliff, because they were not wearing a face covering or a mask, and that was a requirement for the Sunday Mass. Now, the people involved, all they had to do was either put a face mask on or leave. It is private property, and they didn't do it. They didn't do it at all. They resisted. They verbally confronted the security officers, but the security officers did eventually get them to leave. And now they believe that the two armed security officers was a bit too much to escort people out for not wearing a mask. Off-duty Tacoma security officer sadly lost his life a few days ago. We actually had recognized Tracy Baker, a security officer in the Seattle-Tacoma area just a few months ago for getting involved in a sexual assault that was in progress. And sadly, a couple of days ago while he was off duty at a Tacoma Walmart, he got into a confrontation of some sort with another person. They took the fight outside, and that person produced a knife and stabbed Tracy Baker multiple times. Jonathan Miller has been taken into custody. It's just sad all the way around. Tracy Baker was well-liked, a great employee, according to all that we're aware of, and it's just a sad situation. A security guard was shot in La Brea, California. According to police, two bandits shot and wounded the unarmed security officer during a robbery at a Chinese supermarket. Law enforcement is reporting that the 45-year-old security is in stable but serious condition at the San Fernando General Hospital. I will say this as loud and clear as I can before we go to the next break. When you are putting unarmed security officers in places that have a high propensity for violence, robberies, fights, armed attacks, you are only asking for trouble. You are asking that your employee become a victim. If they cannot protect themselves, they cannot protect the client. And this was another situation that never should have happened. Never should have happened. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio. We're going to be coming right back. And don't go away. Whoa. We are coming back. We got a lot more to talk about, including your welfare. We'll be right back.
Can we be real for a minute? I'm a high school math teacher, and I'm a firefighter.
Ma'am, we're going to have you out in just a minute, okay?
I'm a designer.
I'm a retired VP in business.
And I'm a student.
I'm a mother.
I'm a business analyst, and I'm a volunteer firefighter.
You thought we just fought fire?
Firefighters get trained to do so many things.
Right here. Be sharp.
What we do is serious business.
Three quarters of the nation's first responders are volunteers. That includes here in Connecticut. And lately, it's been harder than ever, with fewer citizens volunteering.
From teenage cadets like me,
to seasoned veterans like me.
So what are you waiting for?
You ready to make a difference?
Ready to join our team?
Your community needs you. We need you. Visit everydayherocc.org or stop by your local firehouse today and take the first step of joining your fire department.
Hey folks, if you live in the metropolitan Charlotte, North Carolina area, and that includes the Fort Mill, Rock Hill area of South Carolina, just across the border, if you're looking for private security training, armed or unarmed, either for North Carolina or for the SLED programs, if you're looking for first aid or CPR training, use of force, weapons training, our friend at Premier Training Academy in Charlotte has all of that and more. And all that you have to do is contact John over there and tell him that Private Officer International sent you over. Now, Premier Training Academy, they've been around for quite a while. They have some great training going on. Contact John at Premier Training Academy. I told you that we are going to be talking over the next few weeks about the four components of an individual's welfare and how they're all equally as important. None is more superior than the other. Even though you might think that one is, it really isn't. Our body, our being is just like any other machine, automobile, robot, anything that's got all these moving, working parts. They all have to move and work together. The system as a whole has to be 100%. If a rocket that we're sending up into space isn't 100%, it could self-destruct. It could come back to Earth in pieces, and that's where we're at. As individuals, we have a lot of different components, a lot of different wires and systems and things within our body, and sometimes we just don't think about it. We really don't. But our system, all of them, have to be working collectively, or there's going to be issues. This week, I want to talk about something that is very close, and you know, we don't really want to acknowledge the mental component. There are 11 major organ systems in the human body, and they all have to work together: respiratory, urinary, reproductive, skeletal, muscular, nervous, cardiovascular, and others, and they all have to work as a team. These four areas that make up an individual's welfare work the same way as a team. Everybody's got to be all connected. Everything is all interconnected. I have been on the front line for a long time, 40 plus years. Started in EMS as an EMT when I was 19, been a paramedic, a firefighter, a law enforcement officer, security, just about every aspect of public safety. One of my first calls was a suicide. Right behind that, a cashier at a liquor store was robbed and killed, shot in the head. When you start seeing these things over and over again, it affects you. Even the strongest willed, even the strongest mentally prepared person, even someone in the military, it affects you. We carry it with us. Oh, guys say, yeah, it doesn't bother me. You know, life and death. We all got to go sometime. But it does. It does affect you. Sometimes when you least expect it, wake up in the middle of the night. What are you thinking about? Something that happened 12 years ago. Our mind is a cabinet, a storage cabinet. It's a video camera. It records everything and then puts it away. Sometimes until we need it. Other times when we don't need it, but it pops up anyways. As private security officers, we see a lot of things. I just told you about the woman that was dead in her vehicle. Her neck probably broken when she got it trapped between the car door and a parking garage payment machine. And it was a security officer that found that person. It is not easy to put that away. Private security officers see many of the same things that first responders do. They see murders. They see car accidents. They see suicides. They see, you know, all sorts of things. They have to defend themselves, arm themselves, respond to all sorts of things in the field. We have stress. Many security officers do suffer from post-traumatic stress. And yet, it's not diagnosed, or if it is, it's not dealt with, it's not handled, it's not managed. But security officers' mental welfare, many of them, is more damaged than those who work in law enforcement or other first responders, because unlike a police department or a fire department or, an EMS system, they have a method of dealing with it internally. They have all sorts of doctors, psychologists, sociologists, social workers if you need them. Private security? We don't have anything. And if we do tell our boss, we're out of a job. They don't have any, very few. I know some of the larger security companies have an employee welfare line, help desk. You know, you can call into this company that they contract with and you can talk to somebody. That's a good step, but it doesn't really resolve or provide the amount of attention necessary. Security officers really do deal with stress, emotions, PTSD. Like any other employee, law enforcement, frontline personnel, we have to balance home life with our work life. Now, some security officers still do sit at a desk in an office and they don't see all that. But many, more than ever, are in the field. They're working at high crime areas, apartment complexes, nightclubs, banks, mobile patrol responding to alarm activations, disorderly conduct incidents, crimes in progress. Over 1 million shoplifters caught every year by loss prevention, private security, asset protective agents, they're making an arrest every time. And every time they confront that shoplifter, they're putting their life on the line because they don't know who they're going to face. They don't know if that person is going to resist. They don't know what's going to happen. Let's face it. Some of our employees that we hire already have some mental health issues. We just don't know it. Some have underlying conditions. We just don't know it, are not aware of it. You add that with a certain level of stress that comes from home life and financial issues and medical issues and other things that they bring with them to the job, and put that together with emotions that happen and seeing violence at work or being the victim of an attack of violence. All of these other things play into that PTSD situation. And security officers, unfortunately, suffer a lot more than we know mentally. and that part of the overall welfare, the individual's welfare, is harmed, but we can't see it physically. It's not a cut on the arm. It's not a bullet wound. It's not a stab wound. Eventually, they either blow up, they do something outrageous that they shouldn't have, they become suicidal, it causes workplace violence, even active shooters. It all comes from these things if they're not dealt with. Like anybody else, eventually, things have to explode. They have to come out. Some people keep everything inside. They don't tell anybody anything. They don't need any help. They're going to figure it out themselves until it's too late and things blow up. Many security officers we know have had or still do have suicidal tendencies or ideologies, meaning that, you know, they just don't think life is worth living. Sometimes it's very intense. Sometimes it's just a fleeting thought. Sometimes it's a well thought out plan of how to kill themselves or even how to kill others. An organization called Blue Help, they specifically assist law enforcement and report law enforcement suicide statistics yearly. For the last year on file, they reported 228 police officer suicides. Alcoholism, drug addiction by law enforcement and security and other frontline professionals, a lot of that is based off from all of what I just said, all the things that they see, all the things they hear, all the things that they have to face. And then they have family issues, work and life issues. Sometimes it's, you know, they hate the job, but they're stuck there. The report from Blue Help said there were 228 police officer suicides. The military, VA, reported that in 2018, 541 active military members and reserve components died by suicide. 541. The Veterans Affairs also reported that the number of suicides of veterans who were not active, but they were veterans, increased from 5,787 in 2005 to 6,139 in 2017. 6,000 veterans killing themselves. And they, some of them, have had access to medical and psychologists and medical doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists, and still they commit suicide. When you go to research the number of private security officers who have committed suicide in the past year, 5 years, 10 years, guess what? It doesn't exist, because private security officers are just considered to be civilians. And all of those numbers just all get lumped in together, just like we found with COVID. We had to really dig, and we still dig deep, to get some accurate statistical data. But here we have security officers suffering much of the same things as law enforcement and first responders and even the military, and yet there's no help. The physical, mental, financial, and spiritual makeup of a person's individual welfare is extremely important for your employee. If you don't provide that employee with resources, if you don't intervene with your employee, if you don't show that, hey, you know what? I'm a caring employer, and I don't want my people to suffer, and I want my employees to be firing on all levels. I want them to be performing at their highest peak. So I'm going to provide them some mental health assistance. I'm going to provide them some physical assistance, some working out at the gym, maybe gym membership. I'm going to provide them with investment strategies through financial companies. I'm going to provide them with some spiritual help through chaplains and other entities. I'm going to help them to have all components of their welfare at their peak, because that's going to make a better employee for me, which is going to cut down on incidents from happening, possible lawsuits, the revolving door of having to recruit and train, hire, fire. If we only could value the employee like we value our own children, listen to what I'm saying. If we only would value our employee as if they were our own children, we would have a better employee. We would be a better employer, and it would substantially increase all of the beneficial aspects to our business. And it's a win-win for everybody. But unfortunately, businesses don't see it that way. We can do better, and we have to do better. The four components of any individual's welfare are all interconnected and important to us, a business owner, if we want people not only to work at their ultimate level, but really happier people, employees who are more physically fit, better people to be around, more productive, better for our clients, help others, and they will help us. It is really a circle. And if employers would realize that and really put forth a little bit more effort, I think it would go a long way. That's going to do us for this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Glad that you have been with us on this edition. The four different components of an individual's welfare. Think about this. If you have any comments, send it to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Next week, we're going to be talking about physical. We're going to take on that topic, and we're going to look at how weight, smoking, sleep, substance abuse, and other components of our physical well-being either can be devastating to us or beneficial. Thanks again for being here. Until the next time, be safe, be blessed, and we will see you back here on the radio.